You turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians, chapter 4. Begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 11. Beginning then in Galatians, chapter 4, verse 1, hear the word of God. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's. But now, after you have known God, or rather, are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God and Father, we approach your word seeking to hear from you, to see Christ in it. And so we ask, God, that you would grant us by your Spirit eyes to see and ears to hear, that we might not only understand your word, but that we might apply your word to our lives, that it might make a difference in how we live and how we serve you and serve others. And so we ask it, praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you recall where we are in the book of Galatians, Paul is focusing on distinguishing the law from the gospel. And that's a main thrust of Paul's letter to the Galatians. He begins that way, even in the first chapter. How is it that you are so quickly turning to another gospel? To a gospel that cannot save, because it is a gospel that does not point you to Christ, but it points you to your own works, to keeping the law of Judaism, to following all of the ceremonies of Judaism. And Paul, in chapter 3 of Galatians, and now in chapter 4, is continuing to make this distinction between the law and the gospel. In fact, in chapter 3, he spoke of the gospel as promised to Abraham 430 years before the law was given to Moses. But then as he continued on, he spoke of the great privilege of adoption that those who are in Christ have, because they are sons of Abraham. They have the same inheritance that Abraham had. Abraham received it by faith, and so does the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the Galatians may have had this question. Well, wait a second, if the Old Testament church is the same as the New Testament church, then why don't we keep the laws like the Old Testament church did? And Paul, in verses 1 through 7, as we looked at last week, answered that question. He said that was the church in infancy. The law was given for a purpose, for a reason, for a time. But now the fullness of time has come, and the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And if the Lord Jesus Christ has come, he ends, notice in verse 7, with this statement, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is who you are. If you're in Christ, you're no longer a slave, but you're a son. You're no longer under the law. You don't need the law as a tutor, as it were, to point you to Christ. You are now in Christ. That was the purpose of the law, to prepare for the coming of Christ. But he continues on here And he continues to speak to them and to press this issue home. But instead of using the history of the church, he uses their own history. See, the Galatians had a history. Before Paul came and spoke the gospel to them, they were steeped in pagan idolatry. They were in all sorts of superstition because they did not know the true God. But Paul now has come, Paul and Barnabas and others have come to preach that freedom that they have as sons of God in Christ. And so they have this knowledge, and now he urges them, remember where you were, and now that you have this knowledge, don't turn back. Don't go back to slavery. You see, they were in danger of backsliding. They were in danger of rejecting the knowledge that they had and putting themselves right back in the same situation they were in when they were steeped in paganism. And it leads Paul, even at the end of verses 8 through 11, to say, I am afraid for you lest I have labored for you in vain. Has all the preaching that I have done, the preaching of the true gospel, been for nothing? Are you just going to leave it and go back to the same place that you were? Now think about this for a moment. These Galatians are those who heard the Apostle Paul himself preach the gospel. And they responded to it. Paul speaks of that in Galatians chapter 3, the first five verses. He says that the Spirit was working among you. Christ was portrayed before you clearly as crucified in my preaching. And yet the Galatians who heard from the Apostle Paul are backsliding. How easy it is to backslide from the truth of the gospel. See, the default position of man is to want to do something to save themselves. And if this could happen to the Galatians, how much more could it happen to you and to me? We hear the word, we understand the word, and yet there's a danger in going back and leaving the simplicity of the gospel. And that's what Paul is warning against here. Don't leave the simplicity of the gospel. What is the simplicity of the gospel but that Jesus Christ came to die to save sinners? It's the work of Christ, not our work, that redeems us. And it's easy to fall away from this. And we need to protect ourselves from that. But how do you protect yourselves? How do you keep yourselves from falling into this trap that the Galatians have fallen into? I would suggest that the way that you do that is that you remind yourself of who you are in Christ through the Word of Christ, constantly, daily. And we'll see that as we continue on here. Because what Paul is really saying here to the Galatians is simply this. If you go and look for salvation in anything that you do as a Christian, you might as well go back and become a non-Christian for all the good that it's going to do you. Go back to idolatry, because it's the same thing. Trusting in anything other than Jesus is turning to idolatry. Trusting in anything other than Jesus is turning to idolatry. And Paul brings that out. He talks about the idolatry of trusting in false gods in verse 8. This is what they did in the past. And then he goes on and he says that it is idolatry to trust in false godliness by following the law. Notice in verse 8, he says, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. They had a knowledge problem. The problem was an absence of knowledge. They did not know the true God. They had not heard the gospel preached. When you did not know God, you serve those which by nature are not gods. Now, what Paul is not saying here is you did not know that God exists. Every man knows that God exists. God has revealed himself. Romans 1 is clear about this. He has revealed himself. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. God has revealed himself to man. No man has any excuse. But what Paul is saying here is you did not have a saving knowledge of God. And so, you did not have God as he has revealed himself in Christ. you started to make all sorts of images of God and worshiped them because you had an absence of knowledge. In fact, he who does not know the true God is always going to make a false one. He's always going to make a false God one. And what we learn here is simply you can't worship God without his word, because it is in his word that God reveals who he is and how he is to be worshiped. And so everyone out there worships something, but apart from the word, they are worshiping a false god and engaged in idolatry. And idolatry cannot save. One commentator puts it like this: idols, instead of carrying a man through his difficulties like God does, have to be carried by men in their difficulties. Idols have to be carried by men on their shoulders. They don't walk, they don't talk, they cannot help. Such was the state of the Galatians before Paul arrived. And this led them to slavery, to serving, he says, those which by nature are not gods, to serving the creation. But he goes on to say, you've been freed from this. I came, I preached the gospel to you, and in the beginning of verse 9, but now, after you have known God, that is, after you have known the truth of God as revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ through my preaching, or rather, you are known by God. What Paul says here is you know God, you've heard God through the preaching of the word, you know who Christ is. But more than that, you are known by God. See, God takes the initiative in salvation. God elects individuals to know him. And so God knows them first, and then, because the Spirit works in them, they know God. Salvation is God's choice, not ours. It's not as if these Galatians were seeking in all of these various religious practices to find God, and finally, wow, they found him. No, they were walking around blind, in the dark, running into walls. And God grabbed them and brought them out and gave them new eyes to see and revealed himself to them. No man can come to God unless God draws him by his Spirit. But these Galatians are freed unto knowing the true God, freed out of rank paganism. And Paul says to them, but now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're going to turn again? How is it that you are going to turn again to all of these things? In other words, Paul says, remember where you were when I found you, worshiping false gods that cannot save. And remember what the word of God did in your life. Are you really going to go back? And it's interesting what Paul says here. He says, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements? Now you would think that Paul might say something like this. How is it that you who once worshipped idols are going to now turn to the law? Because that's what they were doing. They worshipped false gods, and now they were seeking to find a false godliness in keeping the law. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul says, how is it that you're turning again back to the same thing? Now, what is Paul doing here? Why does Paul equate keeping of the law for salvation with pagan idolatry? And I think he does so because he's simply saying that it is the same thing. It's the same thing to worship idols as it is to seek your salvation anywhere but in the Lord Jesus Christ, including through the law. Because it's trusting in something that is not God to do what only God can do to redeem your soul. And Paul says, don't go back there. In fact, in the remaining verses, he speaks of the idolatry of trusting in false godliness, godliness that has no power to save. Godliness that looks good on the outside because you're keeping all these rules and regulations, but only leads to bondage. But this is even worse, because when they were in idolatry, they had an absence of true knowledge. They didn't know the true God. They didn't know the Word of God and salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, in turning back, it's not an absence of knowledge, but it is a rejection of knowledge because they know and they're rejecting that knowledge. Paul has been clear. He says, I preach nothing but Christ and Him crucified. And yet, they're abandoning that truth and going back to the law. And notice he says that you're turning to these weak and beggarly elements. Remember, he's spoken of these elements of the world in verse 3. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Speaking of the church in its infancy. It says, now you turn back to, or turn again to these weak and beggarly elements. And by weak and beggarly, he means that these elements, these rules and ceremonies have no power whatsoever to save you. The author of the book of Hebrews speaks of these in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. It says, for on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. The law made nothing perfect. Paul says, you foolish Galatians, the law is not going to make you perfect because it is only Christ who is perfect. And trying to be justified by the law is a tiring business because you'll never get there. Paul, speaking of the Jews who attempted this in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, says this. For I bear witness to them that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, that is God's righteousness in Christ, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And how were they seeking to cement or to work out their own righteousness? Through the works of the law. Paul says these are weak and beggarly. They cannot and will not save anyone. They are weak and beggarly because they give no help or hope to sinners. They are as the law is as weak and beggarly as those idols are. It cannot help you in any way. It cannot help you in any way. Martin Luther, commenting on this, uses this illustration. He says the sinner and the law are like two beggars. They get together and think that they're going to help one another. And they only make each other weaker. Because neither of them can do anything. That's the reality of trying to do things to save yourself. It will never work. It will only make you weaker. And Paul says it'll lead you again right back into slavery. How is it that you desire to turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? And how is it that they're going to be in bondage? Verse 10, you observe days and months and seasons and years. Paul is referencing all of the Jewish observations of festivals and the various Sabbaths that they kept. Judaism had a very detailed system of keeping days, new moons, festivals, jubilee years, the new year, all of these things. And Paul says, do not let your conscience be bound to these things. Because all of these things were not given to bring about redemption, but they were given to point to Christ, through whom redemption comes. And it is in Him alone that we find that. The reality is, there are probably many people in the world who think that it's what they do that is ultimately going to contribute to their salvation. And it's a dangerous place to be. Far more dangerous even than idolatry. Because people in this situation may think, I do things for the church. I'm in church every Sunday. I read my Bible. I give to the church financially. I serve on this board at the church or on this committee. I do this and I do that. And it's wonderful to serve. Don't get me wrong. But none of that plays any role in salvation. None of it. And to be led down that road is going to lead to bondage. And there may be people who are in the church their entire lives in bondage because they don't understand the message of the gospel, that Christ came and died to save sinners. It is His work and not our own that matters. And Paul says this is incompatible with the gospel. Verse 11. He says, I am afraid for you lest I have labored for you in vain. Now this would have come as a great shock to the Galatians, and I'm sure Paul intended it to come to as a great shock. He basically says, I am fearful that you're not saved. I am fearful that my proclamation of the gospel has not worked in your hearts. Because you are abandoning the truth that I gave to you in lieu of something else. He's been working with these churches. This is the churches in Galatia. And he's like a farmer who's been planting, and he comes back to see his crop wilting away. He says, I'm afraid that the work that I've done has been wasted on you because of what I'm seeing, or the lack of fruit that I'm seeing in your lives. He says, you're not in a better place before I came. And there you were in idolatry, but you're in a worse place. Because you've heard the message of the gospel and you've rejected it. The reality is that unbelieving idolaters and backsliding Christians are both headed in the wrong direction. Unless there's a change, unless they come to understand who Christ is and what He's done for them, both will be damned. It's almost as if Paul is saying, you were once known as those who served false gods. Don't now be known as those who once knew the true God, but have abandoned Him for this outward and external formalism or righteousness. Don't do that. Now, this is a real danger for everyone to start to think that we can somehow earn favor with God. Because the reality is we can't. There's only one human who's ever lived who can earn and has earned favor with God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is who I'm pointing each of you to this morning. That's who Paul pointed the Galatians to. The Lord Jesus Christ, His work, His life, His death. It is only in Him that we might have freedom. And this is what we need to tell ourselves. This is the antidote to being led into works righteousness, to preach the gospel to ourselves every day, to tell ourselves who Christ is, to tell ourselves of our need for Christ, and then to apply Christ to our lives and live according to our identity in Christ. That's what's going to make the difference in your life. Now, if there's one person who knew what it meant to be redeemed, to be freed by the Lord Jesus Christ, it was John Newton. John Newton wrote that great hymn, Amazing Grace. He lost his mother at age 7, and by age 11, he was seafaring. He was going to sea regularly. And he became involved, if you know or have read any biographical works on him, in the African slave trade. He did very wicked things. At age 23, in the midst of a storm at sea, he cried out to God to save him, and God did, but not simply from the storm, but God changed his heart. And he turned from that life, and he knew what it meant to be redeemed, to be freed, not by his own works, but by the work of God in Christ. And you know what he did to remind himself of this truth? He had written in bold letters above the mantelpiece in his study these words from Deuteronomy 15:15. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. He had to remember that He was a slave and he'd been redeemed. And that's what you and I need to remember, that we were slaves. We were in bondage, and yet God, in his free mercy in Christ, redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so one of the greatest purposes then in reading the Word of God is not simply to say I've done my daily Bible reading, but to read the Word of God and let it tell us about ourselves. Who we were, apart from Christ, our need for Christ, and what He's come and done, and then who we are now in Christ. Daily, in God's Word, we have a revelation of who Christ is and who we are. And that's what we need to do. We need to let God's Word daily speak into our lives, telling us who we are. Former slaves, slaves to all manner of wickedness, who lived without the knowledge of the true God, who have been redeemed and given now the knowledge of the true God, and are, as Paul says, no longer slaves, but sons. And so we don't turn back to slavery. Don't turn back to thinking that anything you do is going to appease God. But rather live out of that freedom, knowing that you have everything already in and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is important too as we now prepare to come to the Lord's table. Because as we come to the Lord's table, we certainly come as those who bring nothing. We come as beggars, don't we? We come in great need of what Christ gives to us and how it is demonstrated to us in the bread and the wine, that Christ's body was broken for us, His blood shed for us for the complete remission of sins. So I want you to think about that. When you come to the Lord's Supper, even this day, come as a beggar with your hand outstretched, bringing nothing but knowing this, that God has promised to fill it with every blessing in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray against this danger of turning back to our own works and anything that we could do. For we know that nothing that we do could possibly satisfy your justice. God, help us to look to Christ alone for all that we need. And even as we gather together as your people and celebrate the Lord's Supper, that we might come empty-handed, knowing that we are needy beggars in need of your mercy and your grace. Oh God, give it to us, we pray, and we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.